Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Hebrews chapter 12, we were taught about the removing of things of God from this world and transferring them to the new world to come. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, in our text, you see the word removing. And the idea of removing of those things in verse 27 is from a Greek word which means to transfer to a new basis. This present universe, which is under the curse of Adam's sin, is being transferred to the new basis of the second Adam's blessing into a perfect universe. And so then we look at the end of the millennium. There's 1,000 years here on earth when Christ comes back. And he sets up a great, beautiful kingdom. And this thing in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, looks at the end of that period. And it sees a white throne in which God is going to judge all those without Christ. And they're cast into the eternal lake of fire. But then we see Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4, which is what is in coordination here with what we're talking about now. Listen as I read from Revelation 21. This is what you and I as believers have to look forward to. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. A sea speaks of salt water. There is a river of the water of life. There's pure water, clean water, not salt water. And he goes on and says in verse 2 there, Revelation 21, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is the city whose builder and maker is God. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Isn't that great? The former things are passed away, particularly the curse. And that's the reason for verse 28. He says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. When we receive Christ, we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved, cannot be removed, or even shook. It is threatened by nothing. It stands forever. Therefore, we're to take hold of grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. You know, that word serve has the idea of to serve in a religious sense, but not out of compulsion, rather desire. God wants his saving relationship with each of us built on love. Love is what took him to the cross. Again, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How do we serve God acceptably? Through this loving desire to serve him? With reverence. And reverence, as he says here in verse 28, is defined as modesty. It is reverence for that which is good, not merely to that which honor and reputation are attached. Therefore, it is also moral repugnance for that which is dishonorable, fleshly, and worldly. Think of that in relationship to much that passes as worship in our churches today. But he not only stops there with reverence, he says, and godly fear. Godly fear is devoted love to the Almighty. It's wholesome regard for a holy God, his standards and his requirements, which, if violated, brings consequences. Now, my friend, when we will not allow anything to overshadow the blessed work of God, then we are serving him, as we see here, serving God acceptably and living godly. God's work never proceeds without opposition from enemies of true holiness and righteousness. People often acknowledge the truth without understanding it. It is understood truth that transforms the life. That is why contemporary has made such inroads today. You see, neither the world nor the culture sets the agenda or the purpose for life, for worship, for church. We serve a heavenly master. Therefore, we serve him acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. And that takes us to the last verse of this text, verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. This is quoting Deuteronomy 4, verse 24. And this teaches us that as literal fire at Sinai, his holiness is consuming fire, which consumes all evil. And so the context of verses 25 through 29 shows us that the bottom line is simply this: don't trifle with God. As truly as God is love, he's also a consuming fire. God deals in blood and fire. And my friend, if you're not under the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to be in the fire. Denial is not a strategy against your wickedness, which opposes God's holiness. My friend, the law was to show us that we're sinners that could not be good enough to go to heaven. That's what it was for. I hope you know that. I hope you understand that. Jesus died for all sin for all time. He shed his blood for all men, not just certain men, not just what we call elected men. He died for all men, that whosoever will may come. What must you do to have the saving power of God upon you to where you realize that you have eternal life? First of all, admit that you're a sinner. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's every one of us. And so it's an admission of your sin. And then we repent. Acts 17:30 said that God commanded all men everywhere to repent. We just covered that in these last few verses that we've been in about repentance. And we looked at Esau, his repentance was that he was sorry for the consequences, but he did not have a change in moral purpose. He still loved darkness rather than light. When you're coming to repentance in God, you're wanting God to cleanse you of your sin, and you want his light to fill your life. You want his purity, his holiness, and you want to accept him, and he is becoming your God and your Savior, your Father. You're his child. You're putting yourself under his discipline. And believing that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and shed his blood for you and for every sin you ever have or ever will commit, and that he was buried and 3 days later he rose up physically, bodily from the grave. Believing he did that for you, which he did. Romans 10:9 says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made in salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, when you believe with your heart unto righteousness, you're believing unto the righteousness of Christ, and you're receiving it into your heart and life. That's why John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But just like a marriage, just like getting married, you don't crawl on your knees 100 miles, you don't pay a whole lot of money, you don't do great athletic feats, but from your heart you give your word. God has already given his word. Him that come to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. And Jesus is that water of life. Yes, he invites you to come, calling upon him to save your soul. Will you do that right now? Right where you are. I'm going to form a prayer. The prayer that I form will only be words if you don't mean it. But if you're willing to enter into this relationship where Christ cleanses you from your sin and he comes in to indwell your heart and life and he's now your God and Father, if you're willing for that, then pray this prayer right now. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ shed his precious blood on the cross and died for my sins. I believe 3 days later, he rose up from the dead. I right now invite Jesus Christ into my heart and my life as my Lord, as my God, as my Savior. Save me right now. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my friend, if you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want you to do two things. First of all, the Bible says, he that believeth will not be ashamed. Therefore, you call your pastor if you go to a good Bible preaching church. Now, if it's not a Bible preaching church that you're going to, get into your yellow pages of your telephone book, look under churches, Baptist, Independent. Find out if they're fundamental. Find out if they stick to the old King James. Make sure they're not using this rock and roll music. Call, talk to them about those things, and then tell them the decision that you just made, and they will tell you the next step that you need to take. Then secondly, write us and let us know. I'd like to send you our booklet, Building Blocks, which instructs you on how to grow in this new Christian life. And I'm sure if you receive Christ, then you'll want to know how to grow in him. And so write us and call us and let us know. We want to help you. And then finally, tell others about Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. Now, my friend, I thank you for listening today. Next time, we're going to start with Hebrews chapter 13. I want to thank you for listening to The Lamp and Light. Please ask your friends to listen, because that's how The Lamp and Light grows. And my friend, please allow the lamp of God's Word to be the light that you follow today.
We want to thank you for listening to The Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ. Christ Jesus.